Joining us now on the hotline is John Pardee from the Ohio Rights Group. They had a wonderful event on Monday, and John's going to tell us more about that and then some. John, how are you?
Good, Andy. How are you doing?
Wonderful so far. Enjoying the sunshine. Let's spend some time talking about the event that you had on Monday, a medical cannabis education scholarship fundraiser. I know at the event you had some former athletes and a lot of politicians that were involved as well. Give us an idea as to what that event was all about and what the funds that were raised went towards.
Yeah, well, now that everybody's probably aware that Ohio's a medical marijuana state with the passage of HB 523, and as those rules are being promulgated, patients cannot be become qualifying patients under the program without a doctor's recommendation. So it's important that, physicians and practitioners, receive the training necessary in order to, qualify as physicians who can recommend. And as everyone knows, most doctors are not, hurting, but we recognize there are a number of medical practitioners, maybe people are practicing in low-income areas, or medical students, nursing students who would want to go to, these seminars but couldn't afford it. And so we decided, hey, this is some place where we can step in and make a difference. And so we decided to, this is the first of many fundraisers that we're going to host to continue to raise scholarship money so medical professionals can get the training they need so they can accurately and effectively deal with patients who will be starting to use cannabis as medicine in the state of Ohio.
And as you and I were talking a little bit earlier today, you had mentioned that, these scholarships are still kind of available throughout the course of this week. Is that correct?
Up until the first seminar that we're sponsoring is being put on by Cannabis Expertise. If you go to our website, ohiorightsgroup.org, you can read about this seminar. It's coming up in Columbus at the end of this month. It's a three-day seminar starting May 31st going through June 2nd. Very intensive training program with some top-notch practitioners, Dr. Dustin Sulak and Dr. Ethan Russo, among many others, who are going to be sharing their knowledge. And it's something we're super excited to be a part of. So if you go to our website, there's also a place for people who are in the medical field or intend to go into the medical field can apply for these scholarships. And if we're hoping to raise enough money so everybody who wants to go can go, but if we can't raise enough this time, we're going to keep working because these folks are going to come back through Ohio again, and hopefully by then we'll be able to send a whole lot more folks through the program.
John, why do you think some doctors stray away shy away from the use of medical marijuana, and especially with everything we know now about opiates and what they do and how they could possibly lead to addiction? Why is there still a relentless, or what's the word I'm trying to say? Why is there still a shyness to medical marijuana?
Well, sometimes it's you go with what you know. I mean, mm-hmm. Physicians have been prescribing opiates for a long time, especially the folks in older generation. Finding that there seems to be a generational shift of some of the younger physicians and medical students who are coming up through understand this medicine. I mean, you have to remember too that the endocannabinoid system was only discovered in the 1990s. That's a system within every human being that regulates every part of our metabolism and our thyroid and all these other systems in our body. It's the endocannabinoid system, which is directly related to cannabis. And so that was never really taught in medical school, in years past. Mm-hmm. Medical schools are now starting to teach about the endocannabinoid system. So it's going to be a bit of a generational shift. And I think there's just a reluctance to change practices, midstream, especially when it's still federally prohibited.
We're talking with John Pardee at the Ohio Rights Group. And, John, along those same lines, I know you've got a bit of a personal story as far as, the use of medical marijuana goes, as it kind of relates to your son who used it to treat some injuries after a car crash. For those who maybe don't know that story, could you kind of expand on that and let us know how all that went down?
Yeah, I never thought I'd be involved in advocating for, medical marijuana. I'm an environmental consultant by trade. I've I've been doing that for 25 years, and when my son was nearly killed back in 2008, thankfully he survived, but he was being prescribed opiates just like every other pain management patient, and he had some horrible, horrible side effects with it. We had to rush him to the ER because his bladder shut down several times. He had to be catheterized, and it was just, amongst other, bad side effects. And he was the one that was telling me, explain to me that cannabis was a safer alternative and much more effective alternative than the opioids. As a father, I didn't believe him. I said, no, you can't use, marijuana every day and not be, having to be a problem. But I'm a scientist, so I put it upon myself to do the research, and I found out that he was absolutely correct, that, it's the safest, most effective analgesic on the planet, non-fatal, non-toxic in any dose, and it's the least addictive thing on the market. And so, yeah, I got behind it. I've always been politically active, and once I realized not only my son, but thousands and thousands of Ohio's patients, including veterans and children with epilepsy and Dravet's, are being denied this incredible medicine, and it's costing lives. Veterans are committing suicide at a rate of over 20 a day, and we're losing cancer patients, all the time that are not having safe access to this incredible life-saving medicine. So we got involved, and through years and trial and trying to get amendments on the ballot, we finally compelled the State House to pass some legislation.
And along those same lines, what are some of the things that you've kind of discovered in your research over all these years? I mean, you did touch on some of them, but what would you say are the most fascinating things that you found while taking a look at and researching medical cannabis? Because you're right. I mean, we hear a lot of these stories all the time. You talked about veterans in particular. Some of the veterans that we've heard from, they take, in some cases, 15 pills a day. Obviously has a long-term effect. And, when you smoke or you vape or whatever the case might be with marijuana, you don't really hear many deaths turned in because of that.
No. Well, the thing that was stunning to me is the absolute biggest lie on the planet is that cannabis, or most people know it, marijuana, is a gateway drug. It is absolutely not a gateway drug. Well, the thing that was stunning is the gateway drug are opiates. 4 out of 5 heroin addicts start out on an opioid prescription, and when that prescription runs out and they can't get any more, or they can't afford it, they go to the cheap cousin, which is heroin, which nowadays is laced with fentanyl, which is extremely deadly. And that was the biggest lie that's been told to the general public for years and years, was that cannabis was a gateway drug. And matter of fact, prior to prohibition, physicians would prescribe it as what they call a step-down drug, an exit drug, which actually get people off of alcohol, off of opium, and off other things that are more serious. And it was easier to walk away from cannabis than it was these other drugs. So it's actually the truth. It was just the opposite.
John, do you think that doctors at this time, or do you think there's some of the old hat doctors that need to start taking this a little more seriously? Do you think there's a stigma perhaps to marijuana use and what it's been in the old days?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's gotten a bad rep. You mentioned medical marijuana, and Senator Kenny Yuko, who was at our fundraiser and spoke very eloquently about pushing this through the State House. When he first started, introducing legislation 10 years ago, they laughed at him. They thought it was, hey, Kenny, can you find any co-sponsors, for your amendment? They just, they treated him like it was a joke. And he was representing patients who had very serious illnesses, and it wasn't a laughing matter. But what we found was that once the folks in the legislature actually had a dog in the hunt, once mm-hmm. someone had a family member who was diagnosed with cancer or had Parkinson's, all of a sudden they weren't laughing anymore, and they realized how important and serious this medicine is. And it just takes time, Andy. It just takes education, and that's really what we're trying to do. We're going around community to community, going to Rotary clubs and Kiwanis clubs and you name it, and giving talks and educating people about what this medicine does. It's not about just simply smoking and getting high. There's oils, there's tinctures, there's salves. There's a lot of different applications that you can apply this medicine on to deal with arthritis and to deal with Parkinson's and and central nervous system issues and digestive issues, and the list goes on and on. So we're busy trying to educate the public about what's coming, and this is something to, you know, to embrace and not to, to fear or to ridicule.
John Pardee with the Ohio Rights Group is our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And I think it's very important to kind of go back and hit on that point that you just made, because for many, many years, you hear the term marijuana, weed, whatever you want to call it, there's a negative connotation. But as you mentioned, over the years, studies have shown that it can do a lot of good, more good than harm, when it's used correctly. And I think the ultimate goal here, as you said, is to kind of educate folks, not necessarily just to educate the general public, but I think more so kind of to convince and educate healthcare professionals, especially in this area, that there are a lot of facts that folks really need to be privy to.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things we're trying to do. And I'm asking all your listeners to talk to their physician. Every next time they go in and have an appointment, ask them what their position is and why are they basing their view the way they are. Because, you know, any physician who, you know, is reluctant to get involved in this, in my opinion, doesn't have all the facts, and they need to become educated. They owe it to their patients to become educated. And we're happy to facilitate that education to, you know, any community groups or any physicians that want to know the truth about this, because it is, you know, used properly, it is a great tool to treat a whole host of very serious medical conditions. And, you know, patients cannot just simply, you know, go doctor shopping. You have to have, under this rule, you have to have an established relationship with a physician for at least a year before they're allowed to write a recommendation, and that physician has to be, you know, trained and licensed in, you know, to do that. So I encourage your listeners to start that conversation now if they want to make sure that they have a relationship with a physician who shares their views on this medicine.
John, any other advice that you can give to the listeners also? I mean, I know certainly asking those questions is a good step in the right direction, but if folks are kind of curious as to what other kinds of questions they should ask, how can they get a hold of you, and how can they learn more about what you guys do and more about the Ohio Rights Group?
Well, if they want to help put some medical professionals through this training, you know, we ask that they go to our website, ohiorightsgroup.org, and donate to the scholarship fund. And also, just to make sure that they talk, you know, with their friends and family about how important this medicine is. I mean, my son started using cannabis as medicine, and my wife and I started supporting him. You know, it took us a long time to get our family convinced that we were on the right track, and now everybody understands we're absolutely on the right track. So it's about starting that conversation that this is not a joke and this is not just an excuse to guy. This is very serious medicine for very seriously ill patients, and, you know, it's time that everybody understands that.
And again, the website to go to is ohiorightsgroup.info, correct? Ohiorightsgroup.info.
Yeah, ohiorightsgroup.org or ohiorightsgroup.info will take you to the same place. But yeah, go to the website. You can read about the symposium that's coming up. And you can, if you have medical professionals who want to participate in the scholarship program, there's a link on there for them to apply for that as well. Or if somebody wants to donate so somebody else can attend the seminar, we definitely encourage that.
Good stuff. Well, John, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to talk to us here and give us some more information on this, too. This is certainly something worth keeping an eye on. It's certainly something that's picking up a lot of steam as well. We appreciate you giving us some of your time here. And, boy, as some of these elements continue to develop, we'll definitely have to have you on again soon.
Thank you, Andy. Really appreciate the opportunity.
All right. That's John Pardee with the Ohio Rights Group.